Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV 493's After Show. A little twisted there. Is that how I normally open?
You forgot the word podcast.
Yeah.
Episode 493 is after show.
I got most of the important words. Yeah.
So hear me out.
All right.
Q series.
Uh-huh.
QAnon.
Yep.
10 years coming up.
Uh-huh.
1 + 0 = 1. We're 1 year into, you know, away from an election.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just all fits together.
Yeah.
I mean, I connected the dots, Terry. That's.
And if it doesn't happen, well, we'll just move a goalpost somewhere.
Yeah,
and I mean, it will happen. Yeah, then we'll just say something else.
At some point.
I think it's the year of the reckoning.
Okay. I thought it was year of like the rabbit or something, nope, but what do
nope.
I know?
No, it's rat? Not. No, it was a rabbit. I think it was the Chinese New Year just did take place in the last few days.
My wife told me about it and I forgot.
And I feel like last year was the rabbit and this year is it a dragon?
It could be you're the dragon.
I feel silly. I'm not sure right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your animal... and then like 12 animals pop up when I do the Google search. Let's do it for 2024.
Yeah, maybe add a little
dragon.
Okay, you're the dragon.
Right. Yes, which I should have known because one of the pictures I took in the airport was a dragon, but I didn't know if it was specific to this year. I just remember
it matches
saying,
my dragon tattoo that I have
not coming yet.
No,
I remember somebody saying that last year was the year of the rabbit, and they definitely did not like that. That's what I thought somebody told me. But anyway, here we are. We're back. I am back on United States soil. I've been here.
They let you back?
Not quite 24 hours, and. Man, I don't know how many times I got to tell you people, this isn't even a pitch just for Thailand. Just go somewhere. Go anywhere. Singapore was nice. Malaysia was great.
Somewhere outside the States.
Get somewhere outside the States. Take some international, and I know it's not so easy. I don't have money just to get. You can save some money, and you can go somewhere international. I promise you, you can. Obviously, some places are cheaper than others. When you arrive, but a little budgeting and a little planning, go experience something outside of the U.S. You'll thank me for it.
Now, you were on a different timetable, obviously, different time zone. How much of the Super Bowl did you get to watch? Because you woke up and the Super Bowl is on when you wake up there. It's like halfway through it or something.
Yeah, there was a very concerted effort to have a Super Bowl party at one of the event sponsors, I think, very appropriately named The Score is that sports bar. And they had like pre-reg type, like pre-commitment to be there. Mm-hmm. They were going to open at like 5:30 or 6 a.m. or whatever it was. Yeah, I had no interest in that, largely because I had no dog in the fight. I don't really care about the Chiefs.
Correct.
Except for the owner, Taylor Swift. I only care about her. Kidding. And the 49ers. Like, I just didn't personally. Now, I will say this absolutely unequivocally. If any of the 4 years that I've been in Asia during the Super Bowl, and if the Packers were playing in it, I would make the effort to get up and watch
that. Makes sense.
But I'm not going to bother. And coincidentally, I was flying out around 11:30-ish. Mm-hmm. So I needed to be at the airport by 10, 9:30, 10. And a few of us decided to make a longer night of Sunday night and then not worry about a Monday morning wake-up call at 5:30 or 6 or whatever time it was going to be.
So how much...
So, to answer you, zero. 0 minutes, okay, and 0 seconds. At one point, I think the first time I checked the Googles for a score, it was just starting maybe the fourth quarter. And I don't know if it was 16 to 10 or 23, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just didn't really care that much.
Yeah.
And then at one point, I saw that it went into overtime. I'm like, that's cool. And even to this very moment, I still have not watched literally one play on any kind of highlight or recap or anything like that.
There weren't, I would say there were not any spectacular plays. Like, there's nothing shocking like we saw maybe earlier in the playoffs where, you know, it ricochets off of another player and the guy catches it.
Sure.
This was a pretty standard game.
You know, defense wins championships, and that's what it looked like. It was a defensive stand.
It was a defensive game in the first half, Terry, with like each team with a turnover. And then the second half, it got a little bit more exciting.
Okay.
Well, but besides that, ultimately, we all know the reason you watch the Super Bowl is the commercials in the halftime, Terry.
True.
Have you seen... Did you get tingles in your loins from Usher?
I have only, again, even commercials, and this I'm more embarrassed about. I haven't watched 1 second of one commercial, nor did I consume any of the halftime hoopla, so to speak. So I have only read headlines, something about Usher. I'm just going to repeat it because I did find it funny, and I didn't click the like emoji. But I did find it funny. I think it was Drew Gibson that posted and said something to the effect of, Usher, simmer down, like, my girlfriend's watching, or something like that. And then somebody else chimed in and said, bro, your girlfriend's not old enough to know who Usher is.
That's,
and I got a kick out of that because his lady friend is half our age, literally half. Less than half our age.
And Drew is almost half our age. So
yeah. So
just to be clear, that it's was not like... Drew's our age.
Yeah, so I just thought that was a funny comment. So clearly Usher had a solid... something about roller skates? Is that what
so,
I read?
Yeah, so I'll break it down real quick. Sorry for those of you that have heard, have seen it. Usher comes out, sings... I'll get into my issue with Usher in a minute.
You have issues with Usher?
I don't. But
he's got a baby. She's got a baby by Usher.
He's got a baby by Usher.
I'm saying she's a cult. Okay, go on.
He comes out, sings a song, gets on stage. Alicia Keys is there playing this big red piano. Very cool. He wanders over, goes into another song. At one point, vanishes. Comes out in a different outfit on roller skates.
Skates or blades? The board just said blades.
I thought it was skates.
I heard roller skates.
I'm pretty sure they were all roller skates.
Marky, come on, get it together.
Marky, okay. I mean, we usually do blades, but I think those were like old school.
Damn, old school roller skates. Okay.
Which I immediately said, like, woo, like, that's dangerous. Now, Usher seems to be really good on skates. He's a great dancer. I mean, it's whatever, but. And then he's like swinging around, and then at one point he goes on, I think under, was it Lil Jon's legs?
Wow.
And slides under and whatever. The highlight of the entire halftime show, of course, is when Ludacris shows up.
Oh, Luda.
Luda. As I posted on Twitter, you know, there's the one song that everyone knows by Usher. Was it Yeah? Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, So Close, My Way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of them.
I mean, there are other ones. But clearly, the banger... he closes out with as Lil Jon and Usher, Lil Jon and Luda. I thought that part was awesome. My complaint is as good as Usher is, none of his songs are really pick-me-up songs, except for that one.
Mm.
I felt that while he... I mean, Usher is literally exactly our age. I think he's 46 or 45.
Okay.
And, but he's he became very popular latter in our life.
Yeah. So, like... 15, 18, 20 years ago?
Correct. Where we weren't exactly, you know, looking for that. So, I didn't feel like the songs were enthusiastic enough.
Hmm.
The dude does the best Michael Jackson impression I've ever seen.
Okay.
He came out with quite literally, I think he had two white gloves at one point, but then lost one, was wandering around with one white glove.
Dang.
And was breakdancing. He was doing like moonwalk kind of thing, like breakdancing.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
He was the...
Well, Michael Jackson's alive. Q just told me that.
Oh, nice.
No joke. I mean, he literally read that a few days ago.
Oh, he mimicked Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And that's fine. I thought it was fun. I don't know. Just, I didn't feel like there was enough energy in the halftime show until you got to the very last song, which I didn't even realize was an Usher song. I thought it was a Ludacris song because Usher does so little in that song. Yeah.
Well, just a point of clarification, October 14th, 78 is his birthday. So you're roughly 6 or 7 months older than him, and I'm about 3 months older than him.
Yeah.
Than Usher.
So
what have we done with our lives?
We're not Usher.
Sitting here in a basement, couple of schmucks talking about Frisbee.
At one point, Usher did obviously rip off his shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And show his...
Okay, well, those images immediately send to my phone.
Yeah, I will. For those his fine physique. You know, he's not shy on that. So,
huh?
I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure if you like Usher and Usher music, if you're very familiar with it, there was probably you probably liked it. But it's just not. It felt more like much more. I don't even say romantic, but get it on music, which is what Usher is known for. Like, you know, sure, romance is there, but
Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. I mean, this is all. It mm-hmm. all ties together.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Did Kelce propose at the end of the? Because I know that was a prop bet.
No, he was actually handing out vaccinations.
Ah.
Yeah. He proposed a vaccination for everybody.
Okay, that makes more sense. I heard that was going to happen. So. Okay. Well, good to know. I guess I'm going to have to go back and consume some of this. Pilcher says I didn't watch 1 second of the Super Bowl and have not even looked up the score. Fair enough. I mean, let me just say this, because obviously the halftime show is a point of conversation every single year.
As it should be.
No matter what, you're never pleased. We have 335 million people in this country. Somebody's always going to be pissed off and hate the halftime show.
And like, I didn't hate it. I just didn't think there was energy.
I'm just saying, I'm sure others did, and there's... That person sucks, and like, no matter who it is, it's just you. We have how many genres of music? Mm-hmm. And then all the different age ranges in which are watching this, it's just like there's nothing. I don't think there's anything more predictable in life than people bitching about the halftime show. Like, I just because you can literally scroll to see best halftime show ever followed by worst halftime show ever, and I could just do that for an hour down my Facebook feed, no matter what.
And I kind of judge the halftime show as to how memorable it is, maybe how meme-worthy it might be. And I was thinking back at like some of the previous ones. Was it just last year we had Dre and Eminem?
Snoop and those Snoop, guys?
Or was that 2 years ago?
I feel like that was a couple years ago.
I don't know. Look up Super Bowl halftime history. But Katy Perry, what does everyone remember? Left Shark. The Weeknd, what does everyone remember? Him running around in that maze of mirrors. You've got Prince from way back when playing Purple Rain in the rain, which, no argument, the best Super Bowl halftime show of all time, period. I'm not a huge Prince fan, but the man could do it.
Okay, yeah, so a couple, it was, last year was Rihanna.
Rihanna had, like, she was, the meme was her jumping on the platforms like Mario. She had all the different platforms that were floating in the air. So that, again, memorable. I don't feel like there was anything memorable about Usher
before
other than
that. It lists Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar. The Weeknd was the year before that one. Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. 2020.
I remember Shakira. Yep, because she did the finger between her tongue and
Maroon 5, the year before that
was boring.
Was Justin Timberlake. Year before that, Lady Gaga. Year before that, Coldplay. Katy Perry was back in 2015.
Yep.
And Bruno Mars the year before that one. Beyonce. Madonna.
Bruno Mars one was all right, but I just didn't feel like there was enough energy in this one. So
I don't know. I hated it. I loved it.
But again, I would not consider myself a huge fan of Usher's music or repertoire. I know just a few songs.
I don't believe I'm about to ask this, but he was not part of the Fire Island debacle. What rapper was directly linked to that?
I don't know. I forget.
It was like a big hit at one point.
Yeah, no, it was like a 90s rapper or something, or maybe early 2000s.
No, Ja Rule. Ja Rule. That's who it was.
Early 2000s. Okay.
Ja Rule. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of similar era, so it was Ja Rule.
There you go. Nick Markey says Ja Rule.
There we go. Gotcha. A couple of guys chiming in. Love it. Okay. So that was the Super Bowl. No part in it myself, for all those reasons. Now, I'll say this. If I was staying in Thailand for a couple more days, and then a ton of the golfers were, in fact, going to then maybe I would have made an effort to get up and be part of just the overall experience. But knowing that I was leaving at, you know, like I said, 11 in the morning or something like that anyway, I wasn't about to try to go to bed early Sunday just to get up for it.
Not worth it.
For all those reasons. But
You haven't seen any of the commercials?
Nothing. But it's not really that crazy, because if you think about it, The Super Bowl happened at roughly, we'll say like 6:30 to 9:30 my time, or 6:30 to 10:30 a.m. on Monday. By 10 or 10:30, 10 o'clock, I'm in a cab, which is a 30-minute drive and costs $5, but that's another story. I'm in a cab going to the airport, and then I'm at an airport in a four-hour plane ride at a very quick, had done a couple hours of layover, and then a 14-hour plane ride. Like, that was my entire Monday for me. Mm-hmm. And so if it didn't happen in the moment, I've almost had no minutes to consume it. So
I thought the commercials were okay. Again, kind of like how I feel about the halftime show. Nothing amazing that stood out for a commercial. Nothing that really made me chuckle. The ones I did kind of like were there was a Dunkin' Donuts one with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Tom Brady and J-Lo.
Okay.
That's an all-star lineup. And
sure.
I'm a kid of the indie movies. So Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, I always have a soft spot for those two guys. You know, it's very humorous. Matt Damon never has a problem using the "how do you like them apples" line. He uses, I've heard him say it in a bunch of different things. I did chuckle. I thought that was pretty good. There was a Kawasaki one where they're driving around, and as it drives around, it's giving all these people and animal mullets, which I thought was kind of funny. And there was a Skechers one with Mr. T that I liked. Now, granted, that one might hit me, obviously. Yeah,
quite generational.
The 80s generational in that, because whoever is the Skechers promotion person, I forget, was saying like, hey, there's no T in Skechers. There is no T. And Mr. T comes walking in and gets all upset, which I thought was funny. Other than that, meh, I thought. Those are the three that I thought kind of stood out and were good commercials.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll go back and take a little time just because I know so much money, which is a whole other story. Again, especially when you're coming from a place like Thailand and you see people who live in some of the situations that they live in and what their life is like on a given day. And then you turn around and hear $7 million handed over for a 30-second ad spot. And it puts some things into some interesting perspectives when you think about the bigger picture, for sure.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Marky saying the halftime show 2 years ago had people hating on it over Kendrick Lamar being a part of it. Always got haters.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick Lamar, phenomenal musician and artist, didn't fit with the theme of who else was in that particular halftime show with Dre and Eminem and Snoop. It just, he felt time-wise out of place. He is an evolution of those artists, mm-hmm. but just on a different timeline.
Yeah,
so I could understand how people would be like, why is he here? And yeah, apparently people use, it's not Timu, Temu.
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 Which
is apparently crappy Amazon.
Which makes it's, well, there's a funny similarity in that one of the gentlemen that I ended up filming a number of rounds, who's from Finland, who finished, I think, in third or fourth, mm-hmm. I think he finished in fourth, at the Chiang Mai Open. It's T-E-E-M-U.
That's
and it's not Temu, which is what exactly, what it looks like. And you would think, but then I think I heard somebody else say it's Temu, and the one that you're talking about, the company, I think is just T-E-M-U.
It is.
There's not two E's.
But I still think it's pronounced the same way.
Correct. So yeah. I don't know if that's part of its overall Finnish influence there or not, or if it was just a made-up word to them. But
and we did get one good Travis Kelce meme out of the Super Bowl of him yelling at Andy Reid, and a lot of people are putting whatever they want on there. I saw one person who had put something like, if he works on his X step, he'll definitely get to 350 feet or something. Him yelling at Andy Reid. That was, I think that's one of the things that's going to be lasting out of this particular.
What prompted this is that he ran over and yelled and or touched or pushed coach or something?
He basically kind of ran into Andy Reid. I don't know if it was on purpose that he bumped into him, or he just got too close. But he walked over to give Andy Reid a piece of his mind.
And was that after a missed play?
I think it was just I'm fairly certain it was in the first half. He just felt like he was probably not being involved as much as he should have been.
Really?
Honestly, there was a good period where, like, Travis Kelce was not a factor in that game. He just was gone. And I think he just wanted to remind Andy Reid that he's still here. He's getting open. And to make sure not to uninclude him from the game plan.
So swifty.
I mean, he's got
so swifty. You know,
but honestly, after that, he was part of the game, and because what he did is he like bumped into Andy Reid as Andy Reid was maybe not necessarily in the most stable position, and kind of Andy Reid dropped something and got just a touch tipsy for a second, and then whatever. And both of them were just kind of like after the game saying like, "Yeah, it happened," and we're not going to necessarily say exactly what he said, but it was, you know, that's how we communicate sometimes. So.
Everybody's love language is a little different.
That's right. If coach is good with it.
Something worth sharing that happened on my way out to Thailand. I had what was supposed to be a 17-hour flight, to Singapore, technically. I went from San Francisco to Singapore right after the Shelly Sharp. And I had a 17-hour flight, which with holdups was over 18. And I managed to binge and consume from Netflix.
Ooh, what is it?
I feel like you've said the word. Loudermilk?
Yeah, Loudermilk. My wife and I watched that. Did you binge all three seasons?
No.
That was like a full.
But I would have if I had seasons 2 and 3 available. So no spoilers here because I've watched all of season one.
Is there not the other seasons available? Or you just didn't download them?
I just didn't download them. I think this has been said by somebody at some point. So I hit download. I got the entire season. And then those other those other governments, I think I was in, it might have been when I was in Taiwan yesterday. I'm like, ooh, I should now download season two.
Not available.
Wasn't available. And it was like, ooh, I think I need one of those VPN thingies.
Yeah, it was probably available on Hulu then, maybe. Unless they took it off Hulu to put it on Netflix. So,
well, no, I thought they were specifically blocking it from because of the country.
That I don't know. When we watched
Go to Taiwan and look.
No, or maybe it was on Amazon Prime. I forget exactly where, because my wife found it. She watched the first episode without me. I happened to sit down on the second episode, and I was like, oh, what's this? And at that point, she kind of quickly explained the premise. I sat down and started watching, and her and I, it took us a couple weeks. We went through the whole first three seasons. There's not going to be probably a fourth season, even though they kind of left it. Not, I won't say at a cliffhanger, but definitely at a position where they could do a fourth season. It's good. It's about a guy who's a recovering alcoholic who does he hosts an AA meeting. He used to be a writer, a music writer. And so he's a prick and,
and owns it,
but also he's very snobby in his music tastes.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's all part of his character. It's the guy, Ron Livingston.
Yep.
A lot of people know from The Office, the original movie Office Space, not The Office, but Office Space is where he was from.
So I didn't realize it was also this old.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 years old.
Holy cow. I had no idea. Yeah. Well, so
just by going
to Wikipedia, I see season one is actually 10 episodes. Season two is 10 episodes and season three is 10 episodes. And that ended back on, in 2020. So interesting. Yeah, I had no idea.
Got killed by the pandemic, honestly. I think just everybody, come back, and it was, I mean, again, it's a good series. I mean, as any series when you're that long, there's a couple of really good episodes, there's a couple of mediocre episodes, sure. But I mean, ultimately it's worth a watch. If you like the first season, you'll probably like the rest of it.
Okay. Well, I will at some point bother going out and trying to, if I can. Okay, Sony Distribution licensed all three seasons to be available on Netflix as well as Amazon Prime.
That's where we
as of January 14th, 2024, the seasons are available on Amazon Prime and Netflix in the U.S. So I just simply couldn't get to them when I was in Taiwan yesterday. Sure. I'm like, I'll download these for my way back. And I literally couldn't find them on Netflix. So anyway, so I wanted to share with that I enjoyed it. Funny, that shows you again how out of it I can be on certain things. The fact that that's three year old series.
And I had never heard of it until last year when my wife happened to go through. It's not like it was one of those.
I feel like you must have mentioned it here.
We did
on a Tuesday night.
I did. I'm sure I mentioned that Sarah and I were watching it, but it's just one of those things where it's like, we happened to stumble upon it. It's not like it was like critically acclaimed or anything.
Sure.
Like
that. Ray says, I watched a little bit of Loudermilk 2 this weekend. Really great cast. So many hilarious comedians.
Yeah, there's some really good comedians in that.
So
In the AA meeting, I think almost all of those guys are comedians of some sort. And it's very able-friendly, I guess is the word I'll try to use, in that there are people that we traditionally say are disabled and things like that they just include. Like, you know, there's no qualms about it, and it's just a normal, everyday occurrence. I really like how inclusive it seemed to be.
Speaking of maybe not, that's a stretch. I, only because I do travel so much, have gained Star Alliance Gold status.
Look at you.
Yeah, it's not that fancy. It's only like the second level up, so it's still not that impressive. However, more importantly, that gets me into a couple of lounges now.
Ooh.
At airports. So before I did have a little layover.
The Delta ones?
United is who I have gold status with.
Yeah.
And so there's a United one in San Francisco. And you walk in.
It's really nice. I've been in them.
They're kind of nice. Like, it's something my cheap ass would otherwise never get to partake in. And it's just nice because you have, obviously, a huge buffet of or offerings of food and hors d'oeuvres. Plenty of alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. I'm not a big... I would never drink before a flight. It's just not my thing. I feel like that could be bad.
Oh, I do. Like, I don't get obviously hammered, but I don't mind sitting down. Yeah, I should. And having like a nice tall drink right before I get onto a plane.
I don't know. I just never.
It's not like I need it or require it. I just, you know, if I get to the airport
fill
early,
up your flask.
You know, sit down and have a drink.
So anyway, I got a little taste of it. That was United because I have gold status with United. On my way back, I flew EVA Air, which is within the Star Alliance, and then that got me access to one particular place in Chiang Mai, and then also in there was like two or three different offerings of places you could be at the Taipei Airport, which is a really big, really nice airport already. Yeah. And so to have like a 3-hour layover, but have it not even feel like one because you go into there and you're. It had a shower option, which yep. I didn't need.
A bed.
In that case, it was
like food.
Yeah. It was awesome. I could get used to that when it comes to these long travels, and I do feel like it's. I think of it as being like kind of bougie to some degree, but then not really. It's like it's kind of their nice little reward that you travel a lot.
If you travel
around a ton.
And the only reason I've ever gotten into one is because when I travel with my boss, who has traveled a ton, he is a member of, I'm fairly certain it's the United ones. Maybe it's Delta. I forget. But either way, I've gotten to go in a few of them with him. And it's just nice because you sit there, you just lay your stuff down, just hang out. You're not really worried about it. It's got, you know, it's got some people watching, and
yeah,
it's just
you've
a
got
really comfortable
lots,
thing.
The lots of food options, food and drink. This one even had self-serving ice cream, which was pretty cool. Then you have like six different styles of chairs. So depending on what you're your relaxing looks like, are you there just to veg out in front of a TV, or are you there, you know, and you want to sit in a particular desk that, you know, sets you up for doing actual work? Like, I just loved all of those different options. It was really nice. So I'm decades behind where some of you have been when it comes to those experiences, but earning enough status, quote unquote, to be able to do that. And then you're not like fighting for a spot somewhere,
like hoping to get one near an outlet or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
That's honestly. And then the fact that there's always specific internet in there and so on and so forth. Just turned out really great. So that was one of the minor experiences that I also got to partake in while on some travels.
The only other thing Ray brought up, something he binged that we also finished watching, was Love on the Spectrum season 2 on Netflix. Phenomenal. Like I can't think of a better like documentary kind of style thing where they just take two people or they follow a person around who has autism as they try to get into the dating scene. And some of these people are young, like 18, 19. Some of them are as old as 50 to 60, where it's just, hey, these people are their whole. It's so wholesome and just feel good. There's a couple on there that met in season 1, spoilers, and they're still dating in season 2. And so they kind of follow them on this trip to Africa that they both, you know, that they wanted to do. And it's just so it's really, truly just a great series in that it feels very real and natural, and not like, as Ray said, like that could feel like really exploitative, but it's not. And it's just these people who like, hey, we're going to follow you on a blind date or on a date. And sometimes you see somebody, and clearly these people that they pick that are on the spectrum are of varying degrees, but you know, like, There's one guy who dies. He's got long blonde hair, and he's really into like Renaissance fair stuff. And he talks and kind of stutters a little bit, gets really nervous around people. And just, you see these girls walk up, and some of them have autism, some of them don't. And you're just kind of like, oh, I wonder, you know, oh, that's nice that they hit it off. But you're kind of, sometimes you're thinking like, eh, that's probably not going to work for him. Or the guy who found, you know, like I said, the guy who found love or is dating a girl that he at one point worked with years ago at some place. And it's just how they don't hold anything back internally. Everything is almost said out loud. And that's just naturally of probably who they are and not necessarily for this. And the thing that gets me, of course, hits me right in the feels are the parents, because most of the people still live with their parents.
Sure.
And that you just get, you get the parents' perspective on them just getting so excited for every single little date. Like this one guy, he's sitting there like waiting on the phone, like, oh, should I call her? And the mom is just like, just call her. Like, and he can't, like, he just can't bring himself to do it. And it's so good. It's such a phenomenal series. Huh. That it's just so wholesome. There's no storyline behind it. It's just like a documentary, and I can't gush enough about how good it is.
All right. Well, maybe I have more flying to do in there a couple days. So it there sounds like that might have to be one that I look into.
Literally watch the first episode. If you like it, do the whole thing because it's all just as good. If it doesn't float your boat, then just be like, you're not missing anything.
Hmm. All right. Ryan out on the board says, I watched a newer action comedy with Arnold called FUBAR on Netflix and liked it.
Mm.
Ryan also celebrated a birthday since last week's podcast. So happy birthday to you, Ryan. I do have some updates. I'm thinking of Ryan, thinking of southeastern Wisconsin, and then I'm going to dox he lives at. No. While I was gone, big shout out to our trusted and beloved PDGA 1276, Tom McManus. He was literally the boots on the ground that went to the course that I've been working on along with Tom and another Tom and John Turlap and Ryan. He went there while they were augering and bulldozing and brush clearing in the snow here in southeastern Wisconsin. And so many of you know I've been working with a parks department in Salem.
Witch trials.
And down in that area, Salem Lakes. And we've been going through the entire just standard disc golf course project. Except for these guys are not what you and I are used to, because a few of us did the design. We submitted it. Then they had surveyors come out. Then they contracted for people to come out and do the clearing. 98% of all other
parks
courses.
Department and courses.
Yeah.
they tend to rely a lot of the labor on the players the disc golfers
or volunteers or the club. These guys contracted out somebody to come in and do the actual clearing and literally carving out the fairways.
They're doing it, quote unquote, right.
So big thank you, because I told them I have like 2 or 3 months. And things kept getting pushed back.
When did
they want to do the clearing? Like the day I leave for a month-long trip. And so Tom McManus stepped in, went out there multiple days, and was at the property. Now we're going to clarify and confirm everything that they've done and start picking actual spots where they're going to dig out the tees and then dig out the pins. Mind you, they're doing all this in what was like a few feet of snow at the time, which I thought was a crazy time. I get that you wanted the ground to be frozen because you have this heavy machinery and you don't want it to get stuck.
You won't tear up as much.
But the fact that it was also, doing all of this with that much snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to go back out there. This happened almost a month ago, and it's about an hour drive from where I live. So I'm going to go down there and check things out. But Ryan, I think you appreciate that update. And big shout out again, Tom McManus physically going out there. Because those are days I was going to meet the contractors out there and just double check while they're carving our fairways. Go here, don't go there. Even though everything was marked, I wanted to be there for that. And it ended up not happening while I was here. So thank you. And thank you again to Tom McManus. That's what I'll say about that.
Terry, I'm going to take just a few moments here, and I'm going to get our Patreon ready. I know we have got a few giveaways that we need to take
care
of. I think we're going to do two tonight.
Okay.
And then we'll take care of like two or three to next week.
Yeah, start getting caught up on them, especially since I've been out of town. Big thank you. I'm going to say it again. Huge thank you to Latitude 64, who was our title sponsor of the Samui Swine this last couple weeks ago. Super excited. We now have a few Samui Swine discs in the pro shop over there in Thailand, but also some, well, I'll call them generic stamped, that we call it the souvenir stamp that has the Samui logo on it. So all of that in the pro shop, and we're going to continue to get them. We'll continue to get a few other manufacturers in there, but Latitude stepped up in such a major way to make this event this year a huge success. So big thanks. Spoiler alert, big thanks to First Light, who I think is going to be getting on board with possibly sponsoring a brand new pavilion / gazebo over at the Samui Disc Golf Course. So even though they didn't commit to it, I think maybe that will help pressure them into it. So thank you for sponsoring. In all seriousness, Dan, Robin, Boyd, thank you guys so much. I think they're going to be on board for a brand new gazebo covering over there in Samui. Desperately needed and ready to get that going. So thank you. All right. Yes, Joe says on the board, thank you to Tom McManus. Couldn't agree more. So Johnny V is going to pull those up. Just a quick update. I know I touched on it in the regular show, but I'll just quickly recap. I have what will be 3 rounds of MPO Samui Swine action. Quietly, I've already edited 2 of them, almost fully. I have 9 holes that's fully edited and commentated, maybe even gets released tomorrow, of the Southeast Asia Open that took place in Malaysia. And then I have the last 2 out of the 3 rounds that took place at the Chiang Mai Open. One of those is already edited. And then Spicy Boy covered the Maricopa event, and we have 3 rounds of which I need to get the footage and start editing that. So ton of coverage to get released. So I'm glad my voice feels sickly so I can do,
so you can do the commentary.
Hey guys, we're here for another round.
It's your Climo impression. That's all.
So tons of coverage is coming. So thank you guys for all that support.
And you can be a supporter at Terry's Patreon, the Disc Golf Guy, or you can be a supporter at Smashbox TV's Patreon. If you're a supporter at Smashbox
good
TV,
tie.
You will obviously get entered into our weekly giveaway. Weekly, I'm going to put that in quotes because it hasn't been weekly because Terry's been gone. And
it's effectively weekly.
It's effectively. We're going to be catching up. We do basically do about 52 a year. So yeah. We try to do, we'll make it as weekly as possible. This week, we have 134 people eligible for our giveaway. We're going to do 2 giveaways. You said you're going to do a...
I think I've got a Samui disc or 2 that's going to, should be ready to go.
And I'm going to pull into my little bag of tricks here. I haven't seen one of these recently, so I don't know maybe if we got unsubscribed or not, but I still have them. The DiscStore.com disc member box. I've got a small pile back here.
All right.
Just 2 or 3. We're going to give away one of these as well.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we have 134 people eligible. That includes the people who sign up at smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways. Obviously, we always want to include you. But, Terry, it's been a while since we've done this. Let's see if I can remember.
Yeah,
how.
Let's see if
134
you remember.
People. What number do you want
to
generate?
I mean, I've been to Samui 4 times, so it's going to have to be the 4th.
All right, so this is for the Samui disc.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Our first number is 95. I sorted it by first name. Second name is 9, or second number is 99. Third number is 96.
Wow, 95, 99, and 96.
This one's going to be way off. It's going to be like 22 or something.
Okay.
And our final number is 71. 71 is the number. Let me pull up the list that I just created literally moments ago. And it's Keith Colorado. Keith Colorado. Congratulations, Keith Colorado.
And that's
this is somebody who entered in at Smashbox TV because he entered in on exactly a week ago. So he probably did it right after
our last show.
Yeah, right after the last show. So congratulations, Keith. You are our first winner tonight. You get the Samui Swine disc.
Nice. I like
it. Nice. And then we're going to give away one more thing. We're going to give away the disc member box, Terry Miller. How should we do this one?
I've been to the Chiang Mai Open twice.
All right, so we'll do 2 more then.
So let's do 2 more, yeah.
So our first number is 104, and our next number is 120.
Damn, all on the high side tonight.
120. Yeah, we didn't see many low numbers. Let me scroll down to 120. Timothy Donegan. Congratulations, Timothy Donegan.
Thank you, Timothy.
Timothy,
you're
going to get this box. I don't know what month it's from, so it's a surprise to me, too. Because I just have a small stack here because we've been meaning to give some away, but just haven't had a chance.
And Timothy, so. You are a very significant sponsor.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that. Thank
you. And contributor. Not that others aren't, But you've been with us for a while, and we really appreciate your support. So thank you so much for that. Both of you guys, if you happen to be listening, I'll be sending you an email soon, hopefully, so that we can confirm what your mailing address is. I had a couple of smashy discs come back recently. So please, let's make sure that I have your correct email, or email doesn't do me any good, your actual address. Let's make sure that I have it correct so that we're not wasting any money throwing away at the post office. However, if you ever want to ship something from one section to another in Thailand, let me tell you, here's the best, maybe one of the better hacks on the planet.
Better than the Pro Tour hacks you were
giving?
Yes,
I know.
Better than the DGN
hacks. I'm all about saving you guys money. I had to fly from the island into Chiang Mai. My plane ticket was like $86. I got it relatively early. Great price. No problem. $86. However, if I wanted to bring both of my suitcases that I had brought onto the island, if I wanted to bring them both off, both weighing around 20-ish kilos, if I wanted to bring that second suitcase...
when you say kilos, it just makes me think, like,
If I wanted to bring that second suitcase, it would have been like another $200 on my $86 ticket. It would have been like $200 to bring that suitcase to Chiang Mai with me. So what do? I go to the local post office place, wrap it up, send nearly 50 pounds of like 1,000 miles, and it cost me like $7. Could you imagine taking a 50-pound box? And you don't ship as daily like I do, but
nope.
Just for everyone listening, think of taking a 50-pound box, which is roughly 100 discs, in usually what's called a quad box that holds 100 discs, shipping that from like Washington State to Florida. First of all, how many days it'll take, and even at the cheapest rate, how that's somewhere between probably $60 and $100, somewhere in between there. And it would take anywhere from 3 to 5 days. I did the equivalent of that, and it cost me $7. So I shipped from Koh Samui into Chiang Mai an entire suitcase that was full for $7. So there's your hack, people. Do your once you get to Thailand, anywhere in Thailand, some people do it just because they literally don't want the hassle. Like, I won't even bring my bag on the plane and load and wait for. I'll just ship my stuff over there wherever I'm going.
Do you ship your pants?
Yeah, I ship my pants because those big gas prices. So hey, Johnny, I ship my pants. Yeah, you could ship your pants too. Do you ship your pants?
I've never shipped my pants.
I ship my pants all the time. Speaking of pants, today was the first time in 28 days I put on pants. It felt weird. Not going to lie. Between Arizona, Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand, I haven't had any pants on. I packed 3 pair.
Just to be safe. It's good.
I assumed at some point I would need some. I didn't. And I'm not one of those like guys that's like, oh, it's 12 degrees, I still wear shorts. Like, I'm a big guy, but I don't go that route. I draw the line at still wearing pants when it's seasonable or requires them, so to speak. But yeah, today was the first time I put pants on in like 28 days. I don't know. I guess if you live in some place like Florida or Arizona, you're thinking no big deal, but it kind of was.
Okay, Terry Miller.
Anyway, anything off the board before we cut you guys loose? Can you ship yourself? Oh, man. I'm sure some idiot has tried for a YouTube video or otherwise. But, yeah, at like $7. It's just crazy. $7. Ryan says, I'm planning on coming back to Samui to celebrate my 40th next year. That's a good call. I swear during Trevor Harbolt talking about Chiang Mai and talking, kind of wrapping things up as he podiumed, he's like, I want to move here. And it's so funny how many people go there, experience the culture, mm-hmm. and just everything that it has to offer. And then immediately, like, I could see living here. I'm not going to say Shasta Chris said the same thing, but he almost said the same thing. Like, there's something really special about being there, that's for sure. Ray says, yeah, short sky in winter is weird. I get it. Some people, depending on your size, that's usually a bigger guy thing, is like, you let's put it this way. You rarely see a super, super fit, in shape guy that weighs 172 pounds and it's five below. He's usually not running around in shorts like, yeah, this is the norm and this is no big deal. It's usually someone that's pushing the 3, 4, whatever mark, and then is just like, yeah, I'm still comfortable in shorts. And that's usually the correlation there. Yeah. I don't think it's weird. I can understand it. It's just not me. Ray says, Terry, you really did give away a pretty big cost-saving measure by getting DGN subscription free with a $30 youth PDGA membership. Jeff's face looked a little worried. Looked worried.
I mean, yeah. If you have a youth that you want to sign up for the PDGA, I mean, I've got two of them if I really wanted to, but yeah. Thankfully, I mean, that's...
The other thing I was going to say is we were talking about money and memberships, and you kind of alluded to it, and I think we all do in some, and Jeff definitely did, without saying it. Specifically, like, I'll play 10, 15, maybe 20 rounds of disc golf this year. Probably. Maybe. I don't need U-Disc. But, just on a philosophical level, I'm totally good with paying the U-Disc fee every year. Mm-hmm. Same here. It's just, and I get it. Not everybody wants to do that, and I'm not badgering or trying to guilt or suggest others have to do that. I'm just saying there's some people that are totally fine with throwing the support at it just to support it. And the dollars and cents may not work out massively in your favor. Like, I may only score a couple of rounds this entire year on U-Disc, and I don't care because I want to see those guys and U-Disc and others. I want to see them grow and thrive and succeed. That's just how I feel about it. There's a lot other ways you could truly piss away 25 or 30 or 50 bucks or whatever the case might be. For some, another case in point, I signed up just a few days ago, right before I left, actually. I signed up for our local pay-to-play system, our pass system within Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, I could pay a day pass, which is like $5 or $6.
Oh, that reminds me.
I won't play 10 rounds of disc golf out there this year.
I also have some cash.
I still had no problem just buying the pass and being done with it. I want to see it succeed. That's all there is to it.
I think it's Ozaukee County money now.
Oh, shit.
Damn. We went up in December.
Cheapskate.
We went there, and you drive into the park, and there's nobody at the park entrance, because we got there at, like, I want to say it was like Saturday at probably 9 a.m.
At what park?
I forget. The one up, not, I don't know.
Tendick?
No. Further north than Tendick. One of the newer ones
I've never played?
Yeah.
The
one where there's the pro shop.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Sandy Knoll. It's sure. Sandy Knoll.
Okay.
I was following our friend Steve there because we agreed we were going to go there for our morning round. Pull into the park. There's nobody sitting at the booth. I don't think anything of it because we're going to park. I've been there one other time. I park with right next to Steve. Our friend, a couple of our friends show up. We play around. I drive away. Never once was bothered. I get a letter in the mail like 3 weeks later saying, hey, we got your license plate. You didn't pay.
Ouch.
It'll be like $10, $7 or $10 or $12.
Are you paying for parking or for the golf?
You're paying a parking pass, or not a parking pass. You're paying for the golf. You're paying for the,
okay.
You pay to get into the park, which I didn't know because there's nobody there. There's no signs.
Okay.
Even if I wanted to pay, I don't know who I would pay, but I didn't have a sticker on my car that says I bought a thing. So I call up our buddy, and say, hey, were we supposed to pay? And he's like, yeah, well, we've done it before. We've got in and, you know, no one's ever said anything. And I'm like, oh, I had no clue. I just literally followed him in there. So I get this letter and I was like, okay, guy, yeah, I think I got it on like a Friday. I'm like, I need to take care of this because you have to call. You can't even do it online. You have to call
but
them.
But they are advanced enough to get your
yes.
to get your license and send you a letter. They're advanced to have all that technology.
I couldn't but not pay to online take your because payment. I went to the website and I could not pay online, which pissed me off. So then I'm like, okay, I'll deal with this later. I'll call them. I forgot. It's been like 2 to 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I
so there's a warrant out
for there me. Might be a warrant out for my arrest.
That would be awesome. I would
just
love
I get
it.
Impounded.
First of all, you go to jail before me. And second of all, it's because you didn't pay for disc golf.
So somehow now I need to figure this out because I'm sure I threw the paper away months ago. It was probably sitting on
I mean, you could probably just call the county office.
Exactly. I'm probably going to have to call the county office and say, here's my license
plate. And they'll be like,
plate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, we just looked
it's like
it up.
$600.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
Wow. You POS.
I totally forgot about that until literally just now when you said
you're
I paid
welcome.
It because it'd been like I literally set it down. I said, I can't pay online. Gosh, this sucks. This is stupid because I was going to do it right away.
Yeah.
And but you can't do it because they want you to call and you can call and pay for like a full like season pass or like a special 1 week. It was so dumb. It was so dumb. And I put it away and I forgot. And it's been like literally, I think 2 months, 2 to 3 months since we went. So now I need to get that figured out.
One thing I figured out real quick today. So, of course, with being gone, I haven't been in my car. I get in my car, pull onto the wrong side of the road. I'm driving, thankfully no one near me, but just down my road street by my house. I'm like, I initially pulled into the wrong side of the road. And then I had to think about it. I'm like, I literally
which
was
side
like,
do
shit,
I drive
am I on,
on
the right side? No, I'm not. I'm so used to driving on the left side of the road, so to speak. And just even, I've been in a couple of cars in the last month for really pretty much just like, quote unquote, taxi rides. Their version of Uber is Grab. And which does all sorts of things, but that outside of that,
I also pay for. I also offer up my Grab service.
Yeah, I bet you do. That's what gets you in jail. So
if I end up in prison,
so not only did I have to get used to that, but stopping at a stop sign, like literally following any form of just traffic laws, because when you're in
suddenly
Thailand,
you're above the law.
No, just but when you're there, like rolling stops are a thing. There's barely any stop signs. Let's be real, rolling stops and just when you pull. And I finally recorded some GoPro footage, so I'm going to release this at some point. But when you're there and you're let's just say you're coming up to a T-ish intersection, which I feel like there's very few hard T intersections, or a four-way, and let's just say you're coming up perpendicular to an intersection. There might be 100 cars that are just going, that just are, it's just a flow of traffic, and you're trying to pull onto there, and you see two cars and nine scooters, you just pull in with them. Nobody, you don't wait. Until like there's an opening, you make sure none of them are coming from the other way to smash you, but you just pull in with them. It's a constant merge. That's the best way to word it. It's just a constant merge when you're there. So things like hard stops, just they kind of go away at most Jesus. Intersections. And I will say this again, there's 10 times the congestion when you're there traveling. 10 times. Congestion. It's like New York City all the time, probably. But for us, it's like 10 times the congestion. There's all of these people. There's so many scooters and bikes, motorbikes, and very few cars, but they're all there, thousands of them. And yet I feel as safer than driving here. Like, because they're all still respectful and paying attention. So when you pull in, like, oh, okay, I'll just scoot over a little. You're coming in. No big deal. The way I liken it to is like skiing, where they say that the person behind you is always, it's always their fault, so to speak.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same way. You could be, you know, almost tire to tire, but as long as you're paying attention to the people in front of you and everybody is just being respectful, the traffic just still flows just fine. And it's what's also funny is when you're on some place like whether it's the island or you're in Chiang Mai and you pull up Google Maps, it'll say for your car, it may say 22 minutes to get somewhere. And then you click on the motorbike option and it might say 14. And clearly you're bobbing and weaving and your streets are, I don't know, It's amazing. If you're okay with being a little bit aggressive and a little bit assertive, but yet cognizant and aware, it's such an experience to travel around when you're there. And if I feel like if I were driving a car, I would kill someone. Like, because it's so tight and everything's very close and you have to be like okay with it. You have to be okay that at any given point, if you're in a car and you roll down your window, you could reach out and touch somebody on a motorbike next to you out of either side of the car, like just nonstop. And it's such a unique experience. And I don't mean to tell anyone to freak anybody out, but it's a very, very unique experience. With that, big time takeaway that I'll post about tomorrow. No broken drone, even with some significant flying. No broken phone, which I've somehow done twice there, and no scooter accident. That is how you win. That's how you win Thailand, is those three things for me. So I'm coming back a full-blown winner in that case. No broken drone, phone, or scooter accident. And with that,
or I'm bone gonna, drone phone drone, or bone phone,
or bone, there you go.
That's the key, Terry.
One other quick thing I want to say is I know this is going to sound a little maybe even surprising or not surprising to you. I for the first time ever get to use my own drone footage in some of my post-production. Normally
You
kind of rely on others and have asked or thanked or just because even if I could do it, somebody else is definitely going to be better at it than me. Mm-hmm. At Samui, it's only 11 holes, I know, but I managed to drone in, I'd say, with about a about maybe a 930 rating-ish, my drone skills of the course.
It's funny because you drone every week on this podcast.
That's true. You'd think I'd be better. But I was managed to drone all 11 holes at Samui, and I'm excited to finally have my own drone footage. Chiang Mai, I was running out of daylight and time, and quite frankly, I just didn't want to attempt a couple of the holes with the time that I was on. So I got about half to two-thirds of the course out there. So it's not perfect. They're not great. Let me warn you now. But I am excited that my own drone work is going to be included in my own footage. Again, these are some things you'd expect 5 years ago, but here we are. Nonetheless.
All right.
Do you have to merge with other drones? I didn't see another drone at any point. If you saw my Facebook today, though, that was a shot I took with a drone over one of the piers, and it was pretty cool. So, I'll release a bunch of those pictures as well.
Let's wrap this up, Terry Miller. We've been doing this for too long.
I don't know about that, but all right, guys.
I meant the whole podcast, though.
Yeah, no, I know.
We're almost doing our 10-year anniversary.
Thank you to all of you for jumping in. Thank you guys for being patient. I know it's been a couple weeks since I've been gone, and we've been a little bit different. Johnny's been holding down the fort. But thank you guys all. Thank you to Jeff Spring of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, our CEO, who jumped on to give some clarity and also some excitement. We're just literally a couple days away from having our All-Star Weekend. And with all of you guys, you know that really gets things going on the Pro Tour side of things. So we'll see. I think myself, Sexton, Doss will all be in the booth along then, obviously, Val on the FPO side. So should be a good weekend and a lot of fun. For Johnny V, I'm the Disc Golf Guy. That's podcast 493's after show. Thanks for all the love and support. We love our Patreon supporters even more than the others. But we love you all to some degree. We'll see you next week. You step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.